It's time.
Rolling?
I'm plugged in, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So. All right, so a couple quick announcements. I say quick announcements. I feel like we have a bunch right now.
I feel like we have a lot. At least 4 or 5.
So tomorrow, not tomorrow, Saturday, got the Hurricane Hoedown Throwdown. If you're listening this before April 27th, 2024, don't come show up after
that.
Show
up at the gym.
So athlete briefing is at 7 a.m. First heat starts at 8 a.m. and we'll run to about noon. So if you guys want to come out, support, come hang out. We also need help with judging as well. So anybody who shows up is potentially going to be pulled for a judge.
Sure.
And we'll go over all the standards and things like that with you guys. So don't fret about that. But come out, have a good time, support all these guys. We got a good amount of teams this year, 24.
We ended up 24.
That's 48 total people, which is...
I mean, our goal was 40, so I feel like we crushed that.
Yeah, so good job on that. Also have the Hurricanes Kid Camp. That starts June 3rd. We'll have two age groups for that. We have 6 to 9-year-olds, and we have 10 to 14. The younger age group will be on Mondays and Wednesdays. Older age group will be Tuesdays and Thursdays. That class will be 45 minutes, 10:30 to 11:15. I think right now we got about 12 or 13 total kids signed up. I don't remember.
The younger age group?
Yeah, I think more of the younger age group is signed up than the older age group. It's been a couple of days since I've checked it. So the spots are limited to 10 per class, just FYI. And then Great Harvest on May 4th. So that's next Saturday for us as we're currently talking. That's at 8:30. We'll be in the back area. So if you kind of pull up the Great Harvest, there's kind of two white buildings and there's kind of a gap between those two white buildings, kind of like a pavilion in the middle. And we'll kind of be back there in that little grassy area back by the bayou doing some dumbbell stuff. There will not be a class that Saturday.
Nope.
So don't show up for the Saturday normal class.
That, so don't show up at the gym.
Yeah. So that way we push all you guys over to that Great Harvest workout. And then next week we'll have to announce the pool party.
Yep.
Which I think
Cindy was talking to me about yesterday.
Yeah. So I think right now that we have the date set for June 29th.
Yep.
So it's a Saturday. Obviously, we still got some time for that. We're about 2 months out from that. But just kind of getting some a bug in your ear for future reference for you guys.
I sure did in July last year.
I don't know. We usually bounce around from mid-June to mid-July. I know we've kind of bounced around in there a little bit. I want to say maybe last year it was June. If you ask Lacey... That was after her foot surgery, after Jacob
she would not.
Broke her foot. So she'd have a better idea that's actually
she'll be able to play volleyball this year. So.
All right. So topic for today, and I don't know how interesting it'll be for you guys to listen to, but it'll be fun for me and Kel to jam on, is CrossFit gear or equipment. More personal gear.
Personal stuff.
Not like gym equipment, but like personal
stuff
gear.
Stuff you can use in the gym.
Exactly. Stuff that you can use in the gym that you would maybe – need or want, and our opinions on these things. So we're not going to say like a barbell or a rower, right? Those things are supplied here. But your own personal supply, like for instance, it could be like a CrossFit shoe or grips, things like that. And we're going to put our own opinion on it as to...
kind of like a tier list.
Well, we're going to say need, depends, or trash, right? It's kind of the category we're going to kind of put these in. And so we'll kind of work our way down the list. I think we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-ish categories. Not something else pops up in our head. Me and Kel couldn't come up with anything more than this. And obviously, you got people who are very much, I guess with anything, any hobby you pick up, just like golf.
Sure.
The more you get into it, the more
you dive into this kind of stuff.
The more shit you can spend money on that... probably the day is probably not needed.
Probably don't need it, but then once you have it, it'd be hard to not have it again. You know, like once you actually use it and are using it every day, like there's no way you could not or just stop using these things to me.
So first on the list, which I use personally, which some of you guys have maybe overlooked before in the past, which is pretty simple, very cheap to purchase if you are interested in getting these things, is sweatbands.
And to me, this is like, exactly what I just said. Like, once you start using this, I don't know, it would be really hard to stop using it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I would say it's a need.
For sure.
For, I would say majority of people need sweatbands. I wouldn't say everybody needs sweatpants, but I would say majority.
Yeah. A lot of you guys probably benefit.
I say more males.
Yeah, a lot of guys benefit from it. But anytime you're ever doing like pull-ups, or especially with the summer coming around, like you're going to be sweating a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. So like it helps absorb the sweat from your grips. That's why I liked it a whole lot, especially when like a long run coming inside doing pull-ups or something like that. Even like farmer's carries, you're always outside, so it's really going to benefit you from there. I have like probably 3 or 4 pairs of them. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I think that's one of them that like you probably would overlook it, and you're probably like, why the hell are you wearing sweatbands? But once you start using them, I don't know, it would be really hard to stop.
Like, are you in middle school basketball?
Exactly. Like, what are you doing with your Nike sweatbands right now in the middle of the gym? But I like them. I like them a lot.
So I would say, so you're saying to say it's a need.
I'm gonna say it's a middle ground.
So you're saying it depends.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it depends.
So Kiel's saying it depends. Here's how I'm classifying my head, is if majority of people could benefit, I would say need.
Okay.
Or like a good chunk. Maybe not like 51, 49. I would say probably at least 70% of people in the gym will probably benefit from having sweatbands. And kind of what you alluded to is, especially as it gets more and more warm, which we're, you know, starting to kind of tick over to that hot as hell stage here pretty soon, especially with Murph coming up,
Murph would be like a prime example.
Prime example of something that a longer workout that you know, like especially somebody like me who's a heavy sweater, that as you're hanging on to the pull-up bar, you're swinging a kettlebell, you're pulling on a pull-up bar, or even going upside down for like Hanson Walker or wall walking, that if you're not wearing sweatbands, your hand just gets drenched in sweat.
I know one that's a sleeper is double unders. Especially if you have like an Evo rope where it's kind of like a slicker handle, like that makes a difference too.
Yeah. And when you get enough sweat in your hands, chalk basically becomes paste. Yeah. And you're sitting there trying to find a spot, like a dry spot on your shorts or your shirt, and you're drenched in sweat. And it prohibits you from keeping the intensity as high because of external factors like getting sweaty palms and not being able to hold onto the pull bar or the barbell.
I always think about like grips. I mean, I know if you wear grips, I guarantee you finished a workout and you feel your grips and they're soaking wet. Like that would be like a good example of that.
Yeah. And even if when it comes to grips, especially people who have like victory grips, I'm sure all you guys have maybe experienced when you jump on the pull-up bar and you kind of catch that grip kind of low and it pulls on your wrist really hard. It can kind of hurt your wrist sometimes, and having those sweatbands on your wrist can have a little like aid and protection and a little bit of cushion there, so it doesn't feel like it hurts you as bad.
But it also would help with like ripping, probably not ripping as much.
Maybe so.
Like,
but
just because your hands won't be as damp.
Yeah, so I would say majority of the time you would need sweatbands. There would be some certain exceptions in a workout where, let's say maybe you're biking and doing like burpee box jump overs, right? Like,
sure.
There's times where you wouldn't really need the sweatbands on those particular workouts, but I would say it's probably 80% of the time you're involving your grip in some way or form, whether it be holding onto a jump rope, holding onto the rower,
rower handles,
barbells, kettlebells, pull-up bar, or even wall walking, or even handstand push-ups sometimes. Mm-hmm. Especially during the summer, if you're doing handstand push-ups and your hands are extremely sweaty, your hands start to slip out from underneath you. So in my opinion, these are something that I started using a couple years ago, and I feel like it helps me out tremendously. For me, I know a lot of people, they got those Rogue wristbands.
To me, that's too much.
Like, I have a pair of those. I don't like them that much,
though.
I think
it covers too much.
Was like always halfway before.
I have like these Nike ones.
Mm-hmm. We have like the little, was like maybe like 2 inches?
Yeah, like 2 inches, 2 or 3 inches, right? Mm-hmm. It literally just covers like enough, like pretty much on your wrist bone, maybe like 2-3 inches past that. And I think that's like perfect because it covers your grip.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't plug or anything.
So I have a pair of those that are like maybe, like I said, about 2 inches. I have a pair that's like about 3 inches. I like my Nike ones the best, mm-hmm. because I feel like they absorb the most sweat, but also they're not as restrictive.
Yeah.
I feel like the Rogue ones, they're kind of like a sock material.
Sure.
I had to, like, heavy almost. I had to like cut them. When I would wear them, because they were too tight in my forearm, and I feel like it was cutting the circulation off in my arm. And so I physically had to like cut a slit on them to kind of loosen up on the top of my forearm, me personally. And they're not as comfortable either. You can literally go down to Dick's or Academy and buy a pair of Nike sweatpants.
Well, the Nike ones are also cheap.
Like 10, 15, I think maybe. And if you're getting real fancy, maybe $20.
So.
Yeah. So I would invest in that personally, especially as the warmer months coming up and Murph coming up. It'd be a pretty good investment for most of you guys. So I'm going to say need. Kel says it depends. I would say if you're not a heavy sweater at all, then you probably don't need that. Next hot topic for a lot of you guys is grips.
Grips. Need.
Need?
Need.
Need?
Need grips.
I'm going to say majority of people, I'm going to say need, but I'm going to put one caveat to this is that I think some people overuse their grips.
Sure. What do you mean? Like they try to use it for like rope climbs and like barbells and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then I would say over. Like you're almost like
you're overdoing.
You don't need it at that point.
Well, I think some people use it as like a blanket for if their grip is involved in any aspect whatsoever, sure. They put their grips on. Right? It doesn't matter if it's a toe to bar, a pull up, a farmer's carry, a kettlebell swing, a rower, deadlift,
whatever it is.
What anything that involves them pulling from the ground, they put their grips on.
That does help with all those things.
And it does aid. I'm not gonna say that it doesn't aid, and it does make these movements easier. The only thing that I would say that becomes an issue with is that you're going to, over a period of time, you keep doing that, you're going to weaken that part of your limb. Your grip is going to become
an issue
over a longer period of time if you're constantly using grips for every pulling movement that you encounter. And so me personally, the only time I use my grips for something like on the rower or say a kettlebell deadlift or a barbell deadlift would be if I'm already using them like in the workout for like bar muscle ups or pull ups or toes to bar, right? But it's only because they're already there in place.
Like you're not gonna just pull them out for a row.
Exactly, right? If the workout called for
maybe
rowing,
like a 20-minute row, and that's it. But
rowing, running, and rope climbs, I'm not pulling them out for that workout, right? But I see a lot of people do. And you're going to weaken your grip and you're going to weaken that part of the limb, which is going to have some consequences down the road. So you might have start having shoulder injuries down the road because you're lacking, you know, scapular control or grip control, and all these things are going to become factors. Yes, they do aid in your pulling power and allows you to maybe hold on to bigger sets and bigger reps, no doubt about it. But if you're doing something like strict pull-ups,
you don't need
to put them on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and the only reason why grips were even initially made to start off with was obviously just hand protection, right? Because back in the day, you had to raw dog it.
Sure.
And, you know, rips, if you rip your hand, especially if you got a good size rip, you're pretty much out of anything pulling for a week.
Screwed.
Right? And that was always a factor for me when I first started in CrossFit, especially trying to learn like ring muscle ups, where I'd rip pretty much any time I ever did ring muscle ups, and I'd have to wait a week before I could work on them again. And that was the main important protocol. Over time, probably in the last like 5 years, they've transitioned to more of a grip aid, not a hand protection anymore. No. So it's more about
how grippy can you make a grip?
Exactly, right? How grippy can you make and how much can it aid my grip? And I think it's fine to a certain degree, but you need to take time as well to not be so reliant on those things. And when it comes to something like a kettlebell swing or a rower or a rope climb, don't use those things because you can still develop a lot of grip strength by still performing those movements. When you're doing something like high volume, it's like yesterday's workout, high volume chest to bars or high volume toe to bar, using them.
You know what drives me up a wall with grips? And it drives me up a wall. I don't know why it does, but if we're in a warm up and people stop the warm up to go grab their grips, to do scat pull ups, it absolutely drives me up a wall. I don't know. I was talking to Heidi about this week. I was like, I'm going to call you out every single time in the middle of class if you go grab your grips in the middle of the warm-up.
So automatically, if you feel like you can't hang from a pull bar without your grips.
Issue.
That's an issue that you already 100%. Have. And you'll kind of see this in underlying theme with a bunch of different things that we've listed on here. And that's the primary thing. If you automatically cannot hang from a bar, or automatically you want to go put your grips on because you're just used to having it.
You have to have it.
That's an issue. And you need to slowly start weaning yourself off from doing those things, right? So I'm not saying that if we have a workout with high volume chest bar pull-ups or toe to bar, you don't need to be wearing grips. But I am saying, like, if we're in the warm-up, we're doing beat swings or scat pull-ups, you don't need to be doing that, right? Like, if we're doing strict pull-ups, you don't need to be doing that. If you're doing supine rows, you don't need to be doing that. So limit yourself from – and one thing it also drives me up a wall, when people try to wear their grips on farmer's carries.
Yeah.
Like, you're defeating the purpose of the
now, movement. I feel like we do a good job of not letting people do it, but it's every time we do have farmer's carry, it's always the big question.
Somebody always tries to pull them out and tries to use them. I'm like, that's literally the purpose of the movement, is to develop grip strength. That's the primary focus. Yes, it has other benefits, but that's the primary focus of the movement. So putting grips on is defeating the purpose of the movement itself. So, yes, I would say majority of people need to have some type of grip to help, obviously, aid in their grip to a degree, to have higher intensity and better performance in their workouts, but also hand protection. So I would say most, not everyone, but most would probably benefit from doing that. Next on the list, we're kind of staying on the hand-wrist area right now, is wrist wraps.
Wrist wraps?
Needs, depends, or trash?
I feel like that's a tough one. I feel like that one's a... I feel like it falls in depends, but it could also fall in trash.
I'm kind of leaning trash. I think I'm leaning
more towards trash.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards trash, personally. I know a lot of people love them.
A lot of people love them.
And I'm guilty of this. Back in the day, I was very heavily relying on wrist wraps. Sure. But just like the grip thing was, when you start using wrist wraps for every movement that involves you pressing overhead or a front rack position, just like an ankle brace would,
yeah,
you're going to weaken that part of your body from having less weight. It's, you're being reliant on something else to help stabilize that joint. And in my opinion, I'm okay with it to a degree if you get to higher percentages and you feel like, okay,
you're doing like a strength session or something.
Yeah. Right, like let's say I'm doing like pusher because I'm getting to a heavy set of a couple reps, that maybe I'll put them on for that last set just to make me feel as comfortable as possible as needed to lift the loads, right? I would say that's a little of a caveat, but still not 100% like, yeah, you should definitely have
it. And that's kind
of
why I feel like it's a dependable, like it's in the middle.
It's a
of
blanket.
The trash, yeah.
It's like a little blankie, sure, for you to feel, to kind of lean in on. I would say majority of people don't need them because you're definitely not lifting heavy enough loads for you to really depend on that, right? Like you see guys that are like your all-time, like your big power lifters and CrossFitters, and some people, they'll put their wrist wraps on, obviously, right? But they're also pressing 400 pounds overhead.
85-90% of max often.
Yes. And so I would say most of the time, for majority of the people, not needed.
Did you have like a movement you always use them for? Because I know for me, I really tried to only use them for two things, and it was overhead squat and snatch.
I was going to say, majority of the time it was overhead squat and snatch. Just because of the angle I put the wrist on, I felt like it made it felt more comfortable, yeah, of a movement. But I will say this, that I quit using them, and over a period of time I don't have any issues with it.
Yeah.
Like I don't feel like I do a snatch or an overhead squat and I'm like, man, I really need wrist support. Them. You know what I'm saying? So I would once again try to wean off of them and then only use them as a backstop for those heavy aggressive loads. If we're doing a workout that has 95-pound snatches and you have 185-pound snatch or overhead squats, I don't think you should be having wrist wraps on. Once again, that's just my opinion, but you're going to weaken the joint by always... Anytime you bring a barbell overhead, you feel like you can have wrist wraps on.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
Or push-ups or something.
Or handstand holds or whatever it may be. So I would say, in my opinion, trash for most people. You can have them as a... When I get to...
But I would say trash.
More often than not, but I would say... Only break glass in case of emergency. Yeah. Next are lifting straps.
Lifting straps.
So we're kind of going, this one's kind of a little bit more off the wall. I'll say most people probably don't even know what this is or never used them before. So once again, it kind of goes to the grip factor here. So if you don't know what a lifting strap is, so like mine look like the end of a... Mine's old school. Yeah. It looks like the end of a dog leash,
yep,
like the hand of a dog leash, like an old school dog leash, where it's just a loop of, you know, this material kind of, and then it loops around, kind of looks like a ribbon almost, and then they're sewn
like
together.
A teardrop is what it looks like.
Yeah. The ones I used back in high school were the ones that fed through the loop of the eye and had the long, yeah, strap. Those are more
like traditional
strap, yeah, and then you have like some funky...
Figure eights is like the new thing.
Figure eight straps.
Yeah.
So once again, I would probably say majority of people, not needed.
Yeah, I'm going to say trash.
Trash for the most part. I would say this is the reason why straps are good for these particular reasons. Is like, for instance, when we're doing like RDLs, mm-hmm, in class and you feel like your grip is limiting you from lifting a heavier load.
Or doing more reps or...
that becomes an issue when you're trying to target your hamstrings and your glutes, right? Like, I don't want your grip being the limiting factor to you develop more glute and hamstring strength, right? So, or if you're constantly focused on your grip or your thumbs hurting so bad from holding onto the barbell, then that becomes an issue, right? Where straps can help out, where you're taking the grip out of the play, and you're focused on more of the glutes and hamstrings, allows you to focus more in that area, right? That would be a reason why you would want to use straps. Or if you're doing
like a bent over
barbell row or a single arm dumbbell row, and your grip is limiting you from doing more reps or more weight, then maybe you do straps as a caveat to that. Or even if something simple, like maybe you want to try to hang from the bar and use it for more of a shoulder mobility exercise. Maybe you strap your hands onto the bar, and that way you can hang longer by working on shoulder mobility. But I would say majority of people, that's probably not the case.
Sure.
You're probably not strong enough in certain movements enough for your grip to be a limiting factor. I would say especially like for like females, for instance,
yeah.
Probably most females aren't doing enough weight on RDLs for their
grip to be like their forearms aren't giving out before the glutes or hamstrings.
Exactly, right? So
I just recently started using them. So like they're kind of a newer thing for me, mm-hmm. but I enjoy them.
Well, like I limit to when I'm doing it, and usually it comes down to where if I'm trying to focus on one particular movement, I notice that it's not like for the RDL, like my hamstrings are still fine, like as me physically not being able to hold on the bar any longer,
sure.
then, then I'm going to put the grips on, or the straps on.
Top. I always think about it, I was like, don't just use them on like first set, I would use them until maybe
2 sets
in, and then like forearms start to blow up, then you use them, right?
Exactly. And for some reason, high school, I don't know why this was. Our rule was, because we did more hang cleans than we did power cleans. We still did power cleans, but we did mainly more hang cleans. Was they wouldn't let you use straps until you got to 185. That was the general rule, which is not necessarily a horrible rule, but it was harder to clean 175 than it was 185.
Yeah. I think you told me about that, and I'm like, I don't know if that makes the most sense. I mean, I understand what they're doing.
Like I said, they're trying to build grip strength, right, by holding onto the barbell, but if you got to 185, you could put straps on, but that was the general rule. Had to be at 185 or higher.
185.
Yeah, 185 had to be the general rule. But they also didn't teach you hook grip either.
True.
You just had a traditional grip.
You just had a normal grip on.
Yeah. And, but it also developed grip pulling strength. And depending on what your goals are, I would say majority of people, they're not trying to develop more grip strength always. Like, I think grip strength is important to a degree. But for most people, like, unless you're doing it for sport, like a jiu-jitsu or arm wrestling or something, you wouldn't need to focus on just developing grip strength just alone. I think there's a time and place to develop some grip strength, and it's still important to a degree, but I think for most, like developing more lat strength or hamstring strength for these particular certain exercises, especially if you guys are doing like X or extra credit and you're trying to do, you know, a barbell row and you can't hold on the bar anymore because your grip's given out, then you might need to put on some straps to help you out pull more load or more reps with that barbell. But I would say majority of people, not needed. All right, hot topic on this one, because I feel like a lot of people, besides the grips, this is probably the second most used thing in the gym, is a lifting belt.
Lifting belt?
Needed, depends, trash.
Also kind of want to say trash. It's kind of like, to me, it's like the wrist wraps, right? So like once you get to a high enough load, I'm going to say like 80, 85%, right? Then you probably want to use it, even just saving it for a max. I know it helps a lot. I think I'm rolling trash.
I'm trash with slight layer depend. Say depends, and it's kind of falls between depends and trash. If your goal is to lift as much maximum load as possible, yeah, belt's probably advantageous.
Sure.
Right? But I think majority of people with their goals in mind, you know, looking better, feeling better, living better, that you're not going to want to rely on a belt to lift.
Yeah.
And kind of what we resort to with the wrist wraps, and I kind of use this general rule for myself, is I'm not going to put a belt on until I get to a high enough percentage of weight. You'll see some people, they'll strap that belt on for any squat or any hinge that they do.
95 pounds, we're using a belt.
Yeah. And essentially what a belt does is, you know, you obviously, you put it around your waist and you strap it down. and that pressure around your midline, if you're using it properly, you basically push out against the belt. And that creates enough inner abdominal pressure to help stabilize your spine, which allows you to essentially lift more weight because you feel more stable with that belt on. The problem is that, once again, just like the wrist, if you're very reliant on the belt for lifting, you're weakening your midline, your stability, right? Which will have some carryover later on down the road where, you know, injury is higher risk now because you don't have enough midline strength to stabilize when you have external load on you. And you got to think how that applies in everyday life. Like, how many times in a year are you doing yard work or you're moving something around your house and you go to move something heavy and you're not going to go pull out your weightlifting belt to go move a couch, right? And you go to move that couch or that bag of mulch and you go to pull it and you don't have enough stability in your midline to pull that thing and you end up pulling your back out or hurting something in the process. And if your goal is to just live a healthy, normal life, you probably shouldn't be lifting enough loads that force you to wear a belt.
To use it.
Right? Like, I would only say you really only need a belt when you're kind of like leaning into sport to a degree, or you just want to see it physically how strong you can get, right? You're kind of stroking the ego, so to speak. That would be the only caveats, right? Like, obviously, if you're trying to be competing in sport across and things like that, probably going to be a little bit more into the needed category. But I would say probably 80%+ of our gym doesn't need a belt.
Probably don't need it.
Yeah. So don't be relying on those things, and especially if you don't give a shit about how much weight you're lifting. Like, I'll lift where it's tough, but you'll never need a belt in your life, right? And that's also going to help develop more midline stability and strength, which will have carryover to other things in life and make you feel stronger and more healthy to lift things at your house or in the backyard. Because you're used to lifting heavy loads without the belt, you don't feel like you need something when those situations do arise. Next, jump rope. Your own personal jump rope.
Own personal jump rope.
Not the ones that we have at the gym, but your own personal jump rope.
I'm going to say need on that one.
I feel like everybody, regardless if you don't ever plan on doing double unders a day in your life, is something that you need to invest in. It doesn't necessarily have to be anything like a $150 jump rope.
Sure.
It could be a $30,
$40 RPM rope.
Something that I would highly recommend you guys invest in, which is probably your more expensive purchase, but is going to be your jump rope. Because of the fact that when you guys are constantly changing out your jump rope, like say you come here to the gym and you're using the gym jump ropes, right? If you're not constantly grabbing the same jump rope, you're changing the length of the jump rope and the weight of the jump rope, which is going to mess up your timing consistently. You want the same rope, the same length, and the same weight every single time.
Double unders.
And especially if you want to learn how to do double unders, you need to have that same rope every single time. If you're, like I said, if you're kind of constantly jumping around to different ropes, you're going to have a hard time achieving good, consistent double unders because you're constantly changing the variables that you're using to achieve those double unders. And I would say, what do you say, probably about half the gym probably has their own personal jump rope.
I would say so.
So 100%. For you guys who don't have your own personal one, that's something you guys probably need to look into. A good, decent jump rope is probably going to run you somewhere around, like I said, $45 to $60 in that range. It's about like
grips. I mean, if you're buying grips, like, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And a jump rope is going to last you longer than a pair of grips, most likely.
The jump rope will last you years and years and years. And really, with these good high-caliber companies, you're really just purchasing the handles.
Yeah.
The rope itself is pretty cheap.
Like, I know if you're buying an RPM rope, you can buy it. Three different ropes, right, to kind of attach to your handle, and you're spending like $15.
Yeah, and the handles will last you a lifetime for the most part. At least
I think I have an
five plus years.
I have an RPM rope literally for probably like 5 years.
Yeah, like I've had mine I think since like 2017.
And I gave mine to Sandy, and Sandy's using mine still. So
the one I bought, this one's more expensive. This was like $125 jump rope at the time, but I've had this jump rope for
6 years
now. I bought it in 2017, 2018, in that range. And I've replaced the cable out on it maybe two or three times. Most, and that was only because the rope was starting to rust, just from sweating on it, the humidity, stuff like that. The cable itself was getting stiff, so I bought a new one. And that was for the only reason. Like, the cable was like $5 or $7.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a one-time purchase that you are going to purchase every 5 to 10 years at max, unless you just want to go buy a new style jumper that comes out or something. But highly would recommend, if you're not doing that, to invest in some type of jump rope and invest the money into it and buy a good high caliber one. The three most common ones that we use here at the gym would be like an RX Smart Gear one, which
that's the fancy dancy.
That you have the Evo style, and you have what we have at the gym is more like that old school curved handle one, where it has a little
cushion cam handle,
little notch in there. Yeah. In which that one's good because you can change out the weights of the cable. So with that jump rope, you can buy like a thicker handle, like a thicker cable, a lighter cable, and like work your way down to like a really thin cable. So as you progress in getting higher volume doublers and consistent doublers, you could reduce down that cable size and that weight of that cable. Because obviously the heavier the cable is, the more it's going to wear out your forearms and your shoulders and your traps compared to a lighter cable. But as you get more proficient, you're going to want to lighten that load up. And then RPM are probably your two main go-tos. I don't think anybody else has any. I know Rogue has a couple that people use.
I would say Rogue would be like your next best option after that.
Yeah, Rogue has a couple good ones. Those are probably your two main two. It's RPM and then RX Smart Gear for you guys who are looking for brands. So kind of working our way down the body here. Knee sleeves?
I think that's same thing as belts, wrist wraps, same kind of concept. So
all kind of falls into the same
thing. They fall in like the same boat. Good to have, but I definitely don't think, like, if we're doing air squats, I don't think we should be using a belt, right?
Knee sleeves?
Or knee sleeves, right. And I know there's different styles of knee sleeves. I think there's like 9mm, 7mm, 5mm.
Do they make 9?
They make a 9. 9 is crazy. And then they also have like, I don't know, I think the company's called Evo, where it's more of just like a, almost like wrist wrap. Like you just slide
it.
It's like hood wear or something.
Neoprene. Just kind of there to kind of keep
it. It's almost just give you confidence kind of deal. I'm going to say trash. Trash depends
in that area. I think it all, once again, kind of being a broken record on this, is you can't be heavily reliant on knee sleeves. I know, obviously, and I kind of fall in the boat of somebody who's had some cranky knees and things like that. And they do help the knees feel better when you put the knee sleeves on, right? Because now you have that compression, and even when you get in the bottom squat, you have a little tension in the bottom of the knee sleeve to help get you out of the bottom squat. But once again, we're talking about longevity of life and training. You don't want to be...
This is the worst one in this topic.
You don't want to be self-reliant on a piece of equipment to perform a certain movement.
I mean, you just end up putting it off, and then eventually something bad's going to happen.
No. Kicking the can down the road. And so you don't, once again, like there's certain situations where if you have cranky knees that, maybe you want to pull them out here or there, where you're going to go to a decently heavy back squat or, you know, maybe you're doing Karen or certain examples that maybe you would say, okay, maybe this little caveat that you maybe want to have them for. But you don't want to be, every time there's a squat that pops up, you automatically have to put the knee sleeves on. And I'm guilty of this.
Or if you're using it for box jumps or whatever it is.
And I'm guilty of this, like back in the day, like if there was any squat whatsoever, knee sleeves were coming.
Knee sleeves on.
Didn't matter if it was an air squat, 95-pound thrusters.
I was with Olympic lifting, like snatch and clean.
Like any snatch or cleaner.
Any snatch, any kind of clean, I would always wear.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I was personally. I relied way too heavily on them. And no doubt I still use some knee sleeves here or there. And usually the only time I do knee sleeves is kind of like the same rule with the belt, where if I get to high enough percentages, I'll put the knee sleeves on. But if I'm doing 95-pound thrusters or wall balls, I'm not putting those things on.
I use them so much where I had a lifting pair, and then I also had a workout pair.
Damn.
Which I had like the Evo, like the neoprene one for like workouts, and then I had like actual knee sleeves.
And they can make your knees, like I said, they hold heat around your knees, especially as you're warming up. And
you're I think they're awesome for warming up.
Yeah, like it warm up your knee, you feel the knee feel really good. But once
bring
again,
out when you need them, not all the time.
At no point in time do you want to have anything on this list that we're talking about. You don't want to feel like you are reliant on them, that they're your security blanket throughout this process. Like there's times and place that maybe you want to throw them on, but for the most part, you don't want to use them unless you're really forced to have them at all. So once again, kind of that depends/trash area. Next, I should have put this back up there. We're talking about like the hands and wrist.
Thumb tape? I'm gonna say need.
I was kind of saying need. Kind of need, maybe a slight depends, but
depends,
most.
But to be honest, like, I'm gonna say need.
So if you don't know what we're talking about,
most people don't use it. So
I would say this is probably maybe only 20% of the gym maybe does this as kind of throwing out a random number. So back in the day, where they really made like quote unquote thumb tape, you had this athletic white tape you'd have to use back in the day.
Waddies.
That was that's the old school, we had Waddies grips.
Still wears them.
Still wears the Waddy thumb things?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
How has he not lost those?
I have no clue.
I know Jaws made one at one point.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I used to wear them, but they never worked.
The Jaws or the thumb?
No, the Waddies for your
job. Oh, really?
When I first started CrossFit.
They slipped off?
No, I just always, like, anytime I did snatches or hook grips, I would always rip in the inside of my thumb.
Mm. So if you don't, well, Waddies back was a, well, they had, it was the combo wrist,
it's like a wrist
wrap and, grip all in one. That was his old school.
That was, I had them when I first started CrossFit.
A lot of people thought that shit was so cool.
That was the shit, dog. You
know, and I remember people talking about that, like, oh man, they really need to make like a wrist wrap grip combo, right? Because people would.
Dude, they were popular for a while.
They were, because, you know, there for a long time, people were putting, kind of going to the equipment thing, like, especially back in the heyday, you know, everybody lost their shit over gym, like CrossFit equipment, right? I think it's kind of died down over the years, but everybody had their wrist wraps and everybody had their grips on, right? And so you just put your wrist wraps on and you put your grip on over the wrist wrap. And that was always a common theme with people, like, man, they can make like a 2-in-1 combo. I bet we would make so much money off that. And that, not too long after that, Waddies came about.
Came out.
And a lot of people liked that. But then they also made like a thumb sleeve. So essentially when you're hook gripping, right, or you're doing like snatches or cleans, especially in high volume, that having that thumb cover or thumb tape can help aid in
gripping
it, because especially if you become sweaty, things like that, that's hard to hold onto that hook grip, but also helps aid in protecting the thumb from ripping,
sure,
right? The skin ripping off your skin, or the
it's kind
ripping
of
your skin from
the thumb not to move, right?
Once essentially, right? And so, like, now they make more specific.
It makes a bougie ass tape.
Tape that has a little bit more elasticity and sponginess to it, right? Where it's a little bit, allows your thumb to actually flex and move and be comfortable, compared to like when I started back in the old days, just Johnson & Johnson athletic tape, where you had to be really particular on how tight
how you wrapped it
and how tight you wrapped it, because you wrapped it too tight, you couldn't move your thumb. It's basically a stiff thumb the whole time.
Dude, I had that shit down to science.
Really? You had like a certain angle?
A certain angle with the bend of the thumb, and then a certain amount of wraps on each side.
Have like 3 wraps or whatever it may be.
I took pride in that.
And so they a couple of years ago, they started actually making more. It was Average Joe's is the first one. Now they got all different kinds of companies.
That was the first big one.
Yeah, now there's all kinds of companies that make it now. They've knocked them off. But it's a lot more comfortable with thumb tape. And you can probably buy a couple of rolls for maybe like, what, $20? $25?
$25, yeah.
Something like that. It's like 4 rolls.
Probably like 3 or 4 rolls.
Yeah, and you can probably, that'll probably last you for a couple of months. But it'll help aid when you're hook gripping. It'll help cushion up that thumb so you don't rip, but also help aid where you feel like you can keep your grip longer on that barbell and you feel like your thumb's not going to slip out. And the reason why we kind of say need is because of the fact that you're not,
not trashing foam.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's more like a protection thing, in a way, like ripping the skin, or the fact that your hands are getting too sweaty, or your thumb is bruised from lifting so heavy or lifting so much volume that you start getting that poo-poo thumb. Your thumb gets all bruised up. So it helps aid in that fact. It's not like a knee sleeve or a belt where you're going to weaken something because you're constantly using it all the time. That's the reason why we're kind of putting in the need category. So if you're not investing in some type of like thumb tape or something like that, that might be beneficial. If you're not using a hook grip, probably not. I would say the other time you might use it from time to time, which I've done here or there. I haven't
dumbbell
done
snatches.
Huh?
Dumbbell snatches. Is that what you're saying?
Well, not necessarily, like, is even like on hanging movements, like
pull-up bars,
like toe to bar, or you know, pull-ups or bar muscle-ups, that sometimes when you're holding onto a bar, especially when you get like hot and sweaty, like it gets real humid, especially if you're wrapping your thumb around the bar, that inside of that thumb can get blistered up, and you're gonna rip on the inside of that thumb as well. So having some thumb tape can help out with that too.
Sure.
But I know like some people, when you're doing like high volume dumbbell snatches, I think you even have like a little bit of like a scarring going on right there,
or like knuckle?
Yeah, like right where that thumb knuckle is, that head of that dumbbell can rub that thing raw with high volume snatches. So I know some people will kind of tape up their thumbs as well. This has only happened to me during the Open. But they had it, like they had light snatches, like 75-pound snatches for high volume, right? In your pinky rip.
Yeah. Snatch is the only movement.
And it's only when in the Open. I've only flipped in the Open like that. So like little things like that, you can use it for your fingers. You have like little casts on your fingers. You feel like they're going to rip or something like that. Those things can be beneficial as well.
I think they're a need.
So yeah, I put that in the need category. All right, next we're kind of moving down to the feet. Ollie shoes. So first off, Ollie shoe, if you don't know what an Olympic lifting shoe is, I'm sure you've seen some people have them at the gym, but essentially it is a weightlifting shoe specified to have a very elevated heel,
sure,
which allows you to stay in a more upright position of your squat. Let your knees travel more forward, allows a more upright position. So when you're catching like a clean or a snatch or high bar back squat, you're in a more vertical position, mm-hmm, essentially is what it's made for. And it's a very stiff shoe.
I would say trash.
I would say for most people, trash.
I would say trash. Because, I mean, even if you don't have Ollie shoes, you can take like a plate or something, elevate your heels if you really
if you're just going to do like a squat.
For a squat.
And they're expensive. Those shoes
they're expensive. I mean, you're
$150 plus bucks.
$250. So I'm going to say trash unless you were like I said, like you're trying to just compete in CrossFit, or maybe you're trying to train for something, or maybe you're trying to PR your back squat or whatever it is. I'm going to say no, you probably don't need it.
Unless you're taking your performance very, very seriously, and you're very serious about the numbers that you're putting on the bar.
I never used them.
You never use them?
I have like the old school CrossFit style ones, mm-hmm, but I mean, I really never used them.
Man, I've used them. I use my Ollie shoes here or there, and usually, once again, it's only for like high percentage back squats. Yeah.
See, I pulled them out when I would PR my overhead squat. Mm-hmm. That's when I would pull them out a lot.
Yeah.
Of times.
I try, like, once again, and especially even in the side of sport of CrossFit, that if you're very reliant, this is, once again, I was guilty of this back in the day, that when I would do my heavy lifts, like cleans or snatches or overhead squats, was I put my Ollie shoes on, mm-hmm, every single time. Well, the problem with that is if you get inside the Metcon and you got to lift heavy in the Metcon, right? Let's say it's like a jumping ladder, like you're running, you're coming in, you're doing snatches or something, right? Well, you're not going to wear your Ollie shoes for that.
So it's funny that you say that. There's an old school video of like Rich Froning saying why he never wore Ollie shoes. Mm-hmm. When I first started CrossFit, I saw it, and it's him pretty much saying like, well, if I'm in the middle of a competition and I have to do a max lift in the middle of it or at the end of it, they're not going to let me have 5 minutes to go grab my Ollie shoes and put, mm-hmm, them on. And so that's one of the reasons why I never wore them.
Yeah.
Just kind of like a purpose, like, I'm probably not going to have time to grab them anyway, so there's no point in even trying to train with them.
And so if you're always, every heavy lift you do, you have the Ollie shoes on. Once again, now it's a security blanket, and you don't feel comfortable enough lifting heavy loads unless you have those shoes
on. No, I will say, I mean, they make a difference. Especially if you have like a knee issue, mm-hmm, or like ankle mobility is awful, like they make a big difference.
There's a reason why
Olympic
weightlifters use them when they're doing. When you watch an Olympic lifting meet, everybody has them, right? Like they're beneficial, no doubt about it. But when you're inside of a CrossFit setting, it's not the same thing as an Ollie lifting meet.
Sure.
So if you're under fatigue and you're running, you're jumping and doing different things,
you're not going to run 200 meters in these bitches.
In Ollie shoes, they're too stiff or not. There's no way you're doing it. And so, unless you're very serious about your performance on how much weight you're putting on the barbell and trying to max out your lifts, those things would be beneficial. That would help aid in that situation. But more often than not, I would say 90%+ of people don't need them whatsoever. Yeah. So next is an actual CrossFit-specific shoe.
CrossFit-specific shoe?
A shoe that is made for CrossFit.
I'm going to say need.
Need?
I'm going to say need. Well, I mean, are we saying like Strike Movement, Reebok, Metcon,
Nike, Metcon?
Something like that. I'm saying need.
Need? Okay. Yeah. Needs. I would say need maybe like a slight sleep, because obviously there's some people here who do come to class every single day who just have running shoes.
Like on clouds. That also drives me up the wall. Like I think it's a hardcore need.
I would say more often than not, yeah. I mean,
it's, you're not going to want to ruin your on clouds doing a rope climb or a run or burpee. Even burpees, best shoes up. Like, I think they're a need.
Well, in my opinion, if you watch, you ever watch people when they're trying to squat, like barbell squat, mm-hmm, like we're doing like our back squat progressions, and they got them damn big cushion running shoes, and they're trying to back squat in those, and you can see their foot.
Your toes and your ankles wiggling the whole time.
Yeah, like it's not a stable shoe. And that's going to prohibit you from, your squad mechanics are now thrown off because of the shoe that you're in, right? If you can have a, most CrossFit shoes are going to be a relatively flatter shoe, a little bit more, I won't say minimalist shoe, but it's going to have a less of a drop to it. It's going to be, so it's going to allow you to squat. It's kind of what an ollie shoe does.
Okay.
It stabilizes your foot inside that squat. And you need that. And a CrossFit shoe is going to be an all good all-around shoe. It's not going to be the best for running. It's not going to be the best for lifting.
Sure.
But it's going to be a good combination where you feel like you can run an okay-ish amount, you can squat in them, and you can also, especially rope climb in them, if you're going to plan on rope climbing. And is this going to be a little bit more of a more durable shoe to the things that we're doing in here, doing burpees and box jumps and things like that? They're not going to get torn up as easy compared to like an On Cloud shoe or a Hoka.
Are you Brooks? I know y'all wear a lot of Brooks.
Stuff like that. So I would say it's something that you guys probably need to invest in. If you're looking for a good cheap CrossFit shoe, you can find pretty often is the Reebok Nano.
Nanos
are always on sale. We can buy like the older style for like 50-70 bucks, right? Yeah. And it's a pretty good shoe. It was the first one on the market.
Dude, I mean, as far as the reliability, you can buy a Reebok Nano and probably wear them for 4 years if you really want to.
Well, to be honest, you've worn the shit out of yours before.
I wear my shoes until they fall apart. And like, I had Nanos before. I've worn some Nanos for a long, long time. And they're cheap too. So like, once they go up, you can buy 2-3 pairs and let that last you for literally 5 years probably.
Now, we say cheap. Now, if you go on Reebok.com and you find the very first Nano you pop up, it's probably going to be $130 pair
now,
of shoes.
Now, if you go buy the X3 or whatever it is,
the new style,
$125, $135.
Yeah. But I guarantee if you go looking around the internet, you can probably find...
But that's
a
cheap
pair.
Compared to like a Nike Metcon.
Yeah.
Nike Metcon used to be $150,
or even Strike Move was like $150.
Or Nobles, that's $150, $160.
But you can go search online. They always have sales on them. A lot of times they're like their older style, or they're selling off for $75, $80. And it's a good shoe. So it's really not, comparatively for shoes, it's really not all that bad anymore.
What's your preference?
For a shoe?
Yeah, what's your preference for a CrossFit shoe? I mean, you've had them all.
Not Noble.
No.
Not Noble. Even though I have a pair of Nobles, and it's the only reason why I have them.
I would say Nobles bottom of the barrel, though.
Now. Like, back in the day, I loved Nobles. I hate them now.
They're bottom of the barrel.
Even though maybe looks-wise, most people like because they are a minimalist-looking shoe. It's a clean-looking shoe. And I will say, like, you know, the ones that I have, I still like the look of the shoe overall. But it's just not a good shoe. In general, what? Like it holds up well.
The Noble?
Yeah, it's just not comfortable.
I would say, I mean, if you ever like have to have one shoe and never buy another pair of shoe in your life, it's probably the Noble.
Dude, those first Noble trainers,
have the old school Noble trainers and they're still look, I mean, you could probably wash them and you probably sell them.
Dude, they hold up really well.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know about the new style anymore. I don't like the new style. They're ugly.
The thick sole bottom,
hate them. They may be more comfortable, but I don't like the look of them.
So you're saying Noble is your preference?
No.
No?
No, okay. I'm not saying it's not my preference. No.
I was about to hardcore disagree with you.
No. I don't like the Noble anymore, especially after they pissed me off about my backpack.
I forgot about that.
Damn it. Not going to use Noble.
That's like a three-year-old thing right there.
So, Noble, not a big fan of anymore. I've never really had the Metcon.
No.
I had a pair years and years and years ago. Okay. I feel like the new ones, the newer style they came out with the last couple of years, they're more blocky.
Yeah.
I feel like they're a little heavier of a shoe.
To me, they got too alien-y looking.
Really?
Like too
technology. The ones back in the day, the older models, they seemed like a little bit more, less going on with them. And the new ones now, I think, they seem like they're a little bit more geared into, they've kind of shifted a little bit more like on the lifting side, where they got a little more stiff. A little bit more heavy and a little more blocky.
To me, Metcon is just like a glorified rope climb and lifting shoe.
The Metcon?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. So, like, right. If you want a very specific cross shoe for lifting
like
or rope climbing.
Like a competition shoe to me is a Metcon.
Yeah.
We're out of the gate.
So, I haven't used them in a while. I know a couple people have them here, but for me personally, no. One I want to buy in the near future that a lot of people like is the Rad.
The Rads. You've been talking about the Rads.
I want to try them out. A lot of people love them. They say they're really comfortable. I can't speak to because I've never had a pair. Those seem to be really popular right now. I would still say the best overall bang for your buck is going to be the Reebok.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one I always recommend to people. Because when people start, they kind of ask, like, do I need to buy a pair of shoes?
I always go to Reebok.
And I say Reebok Nano is probably your best bet.
Unless you're more of a shoe head, then I'll kind of dive in a little bit more.
But you like the strike movements. You've had yours for a while.
I used to be hardcore Metcon guys. I had Metcons.
You had that white one, this white pair for
all
a long
whites.
Time.
I've had every Metcon. I've had Reebok Nanos. The only cross shoe I've never had has been the Rads and the. Draw a blank, but Rads for sure. I know I haven't had the Rads, but I like the strike moves so far. I think I like them more than Metcon because I also feel like I can wear them out around town and not look like an idiot.
Well, that's kind of where you are now. Yeah. Was that you're like, I want a shoe that I feel I can work out in, and it's a good workout shoe, but also if I go, you know, on a Saturday night out to eat,
go somewhere, right? I can
wear
still it. Throw these on and like not look like a complete douche, right?
Kel might offend some people, but he was on a rant a couple weeks ago about people wearing crosser shoes out in public.
Oh, dude, I hate that. I can't stand that shit. I can't stand when you go to church and your Reebok Nanos or your Nobles, whatever. Man. I'm like, I see that and immediately like have to turn the other direction.
But dude, I would say I've seen. I feel like Noble, especially more people have bought Nobles who don't do CrossFit.
Oh yeah, Noble is like the brand now that like even if you don't do CrossFit, like I've walked up to people that've been talking to me, having a conversation. I'm like, oh, you do CrossFit because you got Nobles on. They're like, no, I've never done CrossFit a day in my life.
No.
I'm like, okay. Or doctors even have been wearing Nobles. They do have a good shoe. Like the runners aren't bad. The knit runners, I used to wear those. They're comfortable.
And then another shoe I'll see somewhat often, not as often as the Noble, is the Nike Metcon.
Nike Metcon, yeah.
Because I know they kind of push out. I know like Nike, so they sponsor, you know, colleges. And their athletic programs will have the Metcon on to train in. Like they'll lift weights and run stuff like that in the Metcon because Nike sponsors that school. But I've even seen people, like there's a guy the other day at Carter's Gymnastics that you could definitely tell this guy did not do CrossFit. Mm-hmm. He's more like a bodybuilder type guy who had Metcons on.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you probably ask them like, hey, what's Metcon mean? They probably have no idea.
They have no idea. But no, I can't stand that. I can't. If I see you in public, I'm going to have to mention it to you. I'm going to say, why are you wearing those?
That's kind of why I got the Vans.
The Vans? See, I like the Vans. I think the Vans are like kind of like striking with all purpose. You could work out in them. You could wear them around town. They don't look bad. They look good.
The only caveat is with the Vans, cannot rope climb in them.
Can't rope climb in them. You're going to mess them up. Even though like Cooper and Brandon, them still do it. I know some people like the Innovates. I think that's probably another popular one.
As Innovate has been, they've kind of been around for a while. That was the official CrossFit shoe before there was an official CrossFit shoe.
Like started, right?
Like when people started.
Old school. That's old school.
Yeah, old school. People were kind of like, what's a good shoe to do CrossFit? And before people actually made shoes.
Like trail shoe, right?
They originally were made for like more trail running, but they had some shoes that were like road running shoes, you know, but kind of like hybrid, like trail/road. And so I think they held up decently well because, like, you know, like a trail shoe is kind of like almost like a boot.
Sure.
And so it was kind of like a hybrid between like running on the road and doing like trails. And so back in the day, that was kind of like people's go-to CrossFit shoe was like the Innovate. And then Reebok came on the scene like in 2011.
I also can't wait for Trevor's Go Rooks to come in so I can make fun of
him. Oh, did he buy those?
He
no!
I'm going to make fun of him.
Did he buy the trainers or the runners?
The trainers. Tough shoe, man. Tough shoe.
So Go Rook now is the official footwear sponsor of Reebok. Or not, of CrossFit. Not a good looking shoe.
No. That might be the ugliest CrossFit shoe.
Yeah. And then another one that came on the scene a year or two ago is that Born Primitive.
Born Primitive. They look kind of like Innovate, right?
They have innovative vibes to it. Yeah. Yeah. That's another one. I mean, you could probably name 10 to 15 different shoe companies that come out that are made like specifically for like cross training. Right. So, but once again, kind of going back to the one we recommend most of you guys maybe look into would be the Reebok Nano. All right. Last one on the list here is high socks and or pants.
High socks.
Pants is obviously mainly more female than
like
male.
Yoga pants, that kind of thing. I'm going to say knee.
For rope climbs.
Yeah, I'm going to say knee.
Yeah.
Most of the girls are probably going to want them just because of the barbell stuff, rope climbs. You're not going to want to mess your legs up. So for girls, definitely probably a knee. And then honestly, I think it's overlooked. High socks, I think, is kind of a knee in CrossFit. Like burpeeing, if you're burpeeing, if you're wearing ankle socks, your shoe's going to come off, your socks going to roll down. I think it's a knee.
So for me, high socks, especially for rope climbing.
Yeah.
And also depends on what clamp you're using.
Well, sure. If you're doing like reverse JFJ, you probably need it.
If you're doing the Spanish wrap that rope wraps around your leg, you have to have pants on or like really long shorts. Brooke Palumbo, if you're listening to this, please.
Please. She actually has gotten better, actually.
Please wear pants on rope climb day.
Please.
But if you're using like the J style of wrap, then you really need something just, especially just on that one leg, mm-hmm. that that rope's going to kind of make contact with, whether you're on the front or the back of your shin. And you could even wear like a knee sleeve. I know some people wear knee sleeves instead of high socks. You can do that too. I personally just wear like a high sock on those days. So it's something that you need to have like in your back. Like I always have like a pair of high socks in my bag because inevitably you end up showing up to the gym and you forget to pack a pair of high socks. You're always like an ankle sock kind of guy. And then you show up and you're like, oh shit, it's rope climb day. And you forget to bring a high pair of socks.
First sock jumps, the most annoying thing in a workout is if you're wearing ankle socks and your socks like rolling down your foot in the middle of a workout. That shit's so
one annoying. Time, this happened probably a year ago, I had a pair of socks and I was trying to wear... So is it like more like your traditional style socks is like even like the lower cut socks?
Like no show?
Like no shows. Yeah. And dude, I was in the middle of the workout.
You ended up not having a sock on your shoe.
And the sock was like halfway down my foot. Oh God. The whole time I was talking to folks on the whole workout was
also,
the damn
sock.
Also, I
can't stand people wearing shoes without socks. That shit's disgusting. That's disgusting. You like that is only acceptable for sandals.
It's another pet peeve.
Or Crocs. Yeah.
Do you care if it's mismatching socks?
No, I don't. Just make sure if it's showing, I want to see the same color.
Like it has like the look, like those under.
Like it's like the actual shoe part, like sure. Your foot is like purple.
If I can see the top of your sock and one's like gray and one's black, no good.
We got a problem. The guy, if I can see your sock,
and you know it's a different color.
It's got to be the same color.
Yeah.
I don't care what's under the shoe.
Because Kayla will have, like, some Under Armour socks, and the Under Armour logo is, like, on the top of the foot, right? So you can't see it with the shoe on. And one might be pink and one might be blue.
That's fine. That's fine.
It's whatever. But
if I'm looking at your ankle and I see black and then purple, like, we got an issue. We got a problem.
I feel like – are you talking to Lake and Potts right now?
I'm talking to a bunch of y'all.
I feel like the Lake and Potts thing.
Probably. Definitely Lake and, yeah.
Definitely mismatching socks, like it's, lime green and hot pink. I feel like that's definitely more of a girl thing.
Where
there's
or
kind of
mixed match shoes. I know it's not a problem here. That just drives me up a wall.
That was a thing. That, I don't think it's any more. Like it's
more of a sports thing.
It was a CrossFit fashion statement there for a second for you to buy two of the same shoe but different colors.
Yeah.
And so you'd wear like a black shoe and then a white shoe.
Black and red.
Black on the right.
Blue
like
and red. Like, no.
Ticky, tacky, nasty looking shit.
Nope.
And not everybody did that, but the people who did, I'm like, that drives me insane.
Can't save it. Or basketball player.
Did you ever have a pair of the old school CrossFit shorts that were more like the board shorts and you had like the Velcro in the front?
Yeah.
Like back in the day?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So like old school.
I've had some Highly
ones weren't that bad back in the day, but dude, I'm talking like old school, like Rogue style. They were, looking back on like, those are the worst shorts ever
so
made.
Thick.
They were thick, heavy. Long material with a little slit down the side. I'll say a little slit. Some had big slits. And it had a Velcro cinch on the front of it. Like instead of having like a tie,
mm-hmm.
it had Velcro. Which inevitably some Velcro would be exposed.
Sure.
So like let's say you're doing like you're leaning over that Velcro starts scratching your stomach. I'm like, why did we wear those?
I don't know. I wore some highly, I had like 3 or 4 pair of them things.
But that was the cross of the thing. You just kind of get sucked into the cool, like into the community of it all. And like you drink the Kool-Aid and then you're wearing some shorts that are stupid.
And I remember Reebok came out with like their version of like mm-hmm. the slit on the shorts. And like, that was like my new favorite short.
There for a long time, Reebok's clothes sucked.
Yeah.
Really, really bad.
Yeah.
Because I remember the first couple years of regionals, they'd give us a couple like shirts or shorts. And I remember I'd get like a pair of larges and I wore larges. They'd be past my knees.
Past your knees, yeah.
Like these shorts are horrible. And they're like, you could tell they're such a cheap material.
Sure.
And I'm like, this sucks. But that's old school.
That's old school.
But well, that's our quick list. I don't know if we missed anything. I don't think anything popped up. If you think of anything, let us know.
The only other thing, I think it was pre-workout. That was the only other thing I could think of.
Some pre-workout?
Yeah.
Don't do pre-workout.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. But
don't spike that hard.
Don't spike it up.
Mm-hmm. Just a little cup of coffee might be fine.
Cup of coffee.
So, all right, guys. Later.